Okay, so today we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark is considered one of the primary sources of the New Testament. It is very concise. It's written in such a way that it tells the story without any fanfare. It just simply states what's happening. And there's a lot of quick movement in the Gospel of Mark. And today we're going to look at what takes place at the baptism of Jesus and this just amazing event that takes place here in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, starting at the fourth verse. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may see this event and understand he did it for us. Let us know, O Lord, that when he entered the water and he came from the water, he was opening the way for us to enter into the kingdom eternal. Lord, thank you for this day and for the blessings of a new year, for the opportunity of a new way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's something my dad told me years and years ago. He said, the journey to heaven starts on bending knee. As a young, teenager, I didn't quite understand that because young teenagers sometimes don't really understand things like that. But the truth is, our journey to heaven starts with a repentant heart. And the people coming out to see John that day baptizing were coming with a repentant heart. Now, what do we need to repent for? Well, there's a lot of things. Even though we live in a culture that has circumstantial and situational ethics, and no matter what, people think they're okay and everything's okay. The truth is we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed clean. The other day, I know you noticed with the snowstorm, isn't snow wonderful? I mean, it's something else. In the mountains, we always enjoyed the snow. We'd take the kids over with the sled, and we'd sled on the golf course and over there in some of the driveways where there was a nice hill. Snow has the ability of taking even that old truck out back and covering it up so it looks good. And by the way, I got to wash my truck because it is really dirty now. See, snow has that ability to cleanse and to make everything clean. In fact, it even clears the air when it falls through it. And that's what is happening here. Jesus is giving us a reset button, a new start, the ability to start life, living life in a way that leads to eternal promises. And it starts with repentance. And the reason we must repent is because we've got to let go of some things and then let God have his way. So we've got to let go and let God. It's hard to be a preacher this day and age because preacher is a bad word. If you start preaching at somebody, you ever had a young person say, "You're preaching to me"? I've heard it a couple of times. I won't say from where. But it's like people don't want to hear the truth anymore. They want to think whatever they want to think, and they don't want anybody to hold them accountable and the whole bit. But this idea of repentance is so important, not for the sake of the preacher. Understand, it doesn't help me any to see the sorrows of humanity and to call it out. It doesn't help me any. In fact, it breaks my heart to see how people live in such a way that they do what they do. It helps the person to repent. Because once a sinner repents, it's like the heavy weight is taken off of them. They're no longer bound. They're able to walk freely. The chains have been loosened. They are able to live their life not in an addiction, not in a relationship that's broken, not in a self-doubt. They're able to be a whole person, a complete person, a healed person. And we need a lot of healing right now. 2018, I pray the world turn around. I pray the whole world turn around. I pray that there's healing that takes place. I pray that people would turn away from the ways that are leading us to the brink of a nuclear war. They'll turn away from all the things that are taking place in society where our standards are being questioned, that people will start to see the importance of family, of faith, and in fellowship. I pray that this nation will get on a bended knee in 2018 and quit being so full of pride and full of itself and realize only by the grace of God are we where we are. We have been blessed. See, John is preaching to the children of Israel, and these are the ones with the covenant. These are the ones with the ticket. They got Abraham as a father. They're card-carrying members of a straight ticket to being with God. And here comes John, and John's a character. I remember my daddy preaching about John and Kipling. He had me rolling on the floor. It was so funny. He was describing John. He said John looked like one of his cousins down in the swamp, you know, one of Lucian's boys. There was Redale and Udale, and there were a whole bunch of different ones down there, and said that he come out of the swamp every now and then in Columbus County, but he didn't come out very often. And when he come out, you knew he did, because he just had a look about him and a way about him. See, John was such a man. He was dressed wildly. Understand, this was not garments that normal people wore. He was eating food that normal people just don't eat. He was clothed with camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John was a wild man. And he was telling the people, you bunch of wretched sinners, what's wrong with you? You got to get over here and I'm going to duck you in this water. It's like my daddy said that he used to hold some people down a little longer than others because they needed it. Now, the first thing Brad asked me when I come in this morning, Brad said, we're going to have a baptism today. That's what he said, we're going to have a baptism today. I said, yeah, we're going to baptize somebody in that pond out there today. But Mr. Pat's got to break the ice first. So if any of you want to be baptized, I'll baptize you right there in the pond today. We'll go right out this church right now, and I'll do a baptism. Now, I'm not saying how it's going to end up, but it'll start well. See, John is baptizing people. And they coming in droves. They want to see this. This is the biggest thing to hit since they had something happen over in Jerusalem there with the Colosseum and with the Romans there building a little amphitheater. Something big is happening. And so they're all coming out there, and John is preaching up a storm, and he's stomping, and there's dust flying everywhere, and people are standing there, and they're catching whatever the spirit is that John's sharing, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's just excitement, and they're wanting to be baptized, and he's dunking them in the water. I love baptizing people. If you have not been baptized, I want to invite you to see me and let's get you baptized this year. Let's get you baptized. We will use this to baptize you. And if that's not enough water for you, then we'll go borrow the Baptist. They have a pool down there. They got an indoor pool at their church, and so we'll go and borrow that. And if that's not big enough, we'll go to the Outer Banks, and I know a place over there I can throw you in the water, and there's sharks in there too, and we'll have a good time together. We'll get you baptized. I want to baptize somebody. I'm wanting to baptize somebody bad today, but it's a little cold. I've got an itch to baptize. I'm eyeing you, seeing who needs it, bad. See, John is baptizing people, and he's baptizing them, saying to them, you're going to have to get ready because something's about to happen. You're going to have to get clean because you can't be dirty when he shows up, because he's coming not just to wash you off, he's coming to save your soul. So he's coming not for repentance, he's coming for baptized, that you are being brought into a new relationship. And so John is preparing the way, and he said, after me will come one more powerful than I, I can't even wear his shoes, he said. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie them. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Christian faith is a strange faith. It's not made up of complicated laws. There's no laws that you have to follow other than the golden rule to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus made it real clear, but he made sure we understand that we need a point of reconciliation. We need a point of coming together. Now, I'm the district chair of dismantling racism, and this evening I'll be teaching a class about that. There's a lot of pain in our nation right now. Why they chose me, I don't know. I really don't know. I've struggled with it. Understand, I haven't struggled with the concepts and the theology. I believe in equality. I believe we're all God's children, and I think we all need the same forgiveness. In fact, I've been pushing the agenda that we need to stop looking at the differences and we start needing to look at what we all commonly are part of, and the start of a relationship is forgiveness. And until the nation can forgive, it's not going to have any better day. It's going to continue to fight and be separated and find differences instead of what joins us together. If you think about the 12 disciples of Jesus, by the way, there were 12 disciples of Jesus. There were 12 astronauts on the moon. Only 12 people have ever stood on the moon. It's very odd. Isn't that odd? Isn't that weird? How God works in ways like that? See, there's this need for us to be joined together. And how we're joined together is forgiveness. We have to accept God's forgiveness for us. John is saying, come get washed. You need to repent of your sins, but he's the one, not me. He's the one that's going to forgive you. Now, we preachers do not have authority beyond the point God has given us to proclaim the gospel. In fact, in heaven, we don't have a job anymore. Because in heaven, we don't need to proclaim Christ. Christ is present. He is there. See, on earth, our task is to proclaim the forgiver, Jesus, as Christ. It's hard to, you know, say that to people who are hurt. It's hard to say that to people who are victimized. And we're seeing a balance right now. We're seeing a revolution occur in our culture that we've never seen before. People have been victimized, and they're finally starting to stand up, and they're just, my Lord, have mercy. Everybody's running around, and they're accusing everybody else, and everybody's claiming they're one thing and another, and everyone's trying to get the moral high ground and the righteous high ground, and the truth is we're all wretched sinners. They once asked Billy Graham, they said, how do you preach to so many people? That's Dr. Graham. He said, I don't see him as one group and another group and another group. I look on them all as sinners in need of God's grace. See, we are part of the body that needs forgiveness. Now, what do we need forgiveness for? Well, we're not going to go into any detail, but we need forgiveness mostly for our hearts, because our hearts get turned. We look at other things instead of God for our hope. We hope a doctor will help us, and even though doctors do help, our great physician helps in a greater way. We look at politicians to help us. And even though politicians on occasion may help us, they are not our salvation. We look at money to help us. We think that we win one of those lotteries. Now, you know the woman down in Florida, she won $500 some million. Of course, tax would automatically take half of that off. So you can take out your phones and do your calculation and figure out how much it is. I don't know if the drawing of the other one won. Oh, it did? New Hampshire? Why did anybody in New Hampshire win that? That's not fair. That's not fair at all. Sisters and brothers, I know we're not supposed to play the lottery, and the bishop said you can't play the lottery, and we're not going to play the lottery, but if you play the lottery and you win, the first person you call is me. Me, call me. And I'm going to demand that you give one-tenth to this church right here. And we can talk about before taxes or after taxes. We'll let that little detail. We don't have to worry about it. But I don't encourage it in any way, because sisters and brothers, the secret to life is not winning the lottery, it's winning life. And how do we win life? We win life by doing what you're doing that the world is not doing. You're investing in your belief and your faith that you're depending on God. You're letting go of the things that seem to charm most, and you're letting God. In other words, you're being baptized. Now, I was baptized as a baby. I know for a fact that my daddy held me and he baptized me. My mama held me as she took me up. And all the family was there, my brother and my two sisters, all little children there at Lewisburg, and my father baptized me in his first appointment. I don't remember it, but I do know I was raised to understand that baptism. I reaffirmed that baptism when I went through confirmation and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had a call and salvation experience over at Camp Rockfish, singing Kumbaya, by the way, around the campfire. And I realized that my God was real. And then I received a call in a pulpit in Arapahoe Church on the coast of North Carolina. See, this repentance process has been ongoing throughout my whole life. God wants us to be continually cleaned and cleansed for his great coming. And it describes it. And it says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the river Jordan. And he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Imagine that. The same dove that was there on Noah's Ark. The same dove. The Holy Spirit in a form of a dove. And it's there with him, and God's voice, it speaks out and it says, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." At that moment, God's declaration for his son Jesus is made clear that everyone there realizes this man is more than just a man. He is son of man and he is son of God. And he showed us by what he did how we are to enter into relationship with him. Sisters and brothers, baptism is our entrance into the eternal kingdom. Now, when my brother was over in the war in Iraq, he had a soldier, he had a Marine that wanted to be baptized. And as you know, in the desert, there's not a lot of water. And so he called on the CBs, or the ones that do the mechanical things, to bring a tractor with a bucket. And they filled the bucket up with water. And my brother, he baptized a young Marine in the bucket. They did a CNN story about it, of him being baptized there. He said he also baptized soldiers in the pools of Saddam Hussein that wanted to be saved. But he said the one that meant the most to him was this young Iraqi man who had been helping as someone who would so carry things from one point to another point. And even though he was of another faith, he converted under my brother's ministry, and he was baptized. And he said that he couldn't go home again because his family would not accept his new faith, but that he was now where he wanted to be. He wanted to follow. He wanted to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. See, we are in a land that needs a cleansing. We are in a land that needs a baptism. We need the gospel to be given in such a way that God's Spirit will pour out again upon us. We are in a desperate time. We are in a time that the very foundations of what we believe are being shaken by the world in its way. We are in a time that people think that they don't need God. Well, I can tell you right now, we need God, and we need God more now than we ever have before. There's not a day that goes by that the Lord is not blessing us and keeping us from harm. We are dangling above the fires of oblivion, and God is giving us hope in the midst of it that we are baptized into the circle of life. We're being baptized into his hope. And what it means is this baptism is cleansing us from the outside in. But the spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit is cleansing us from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit's powerful for us. Holy Spirit's like a reset button. Holy Spirit's able to take a person who's committed sin and say to them, you can walk clear and clean again. Turn your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has the power to reset a family, remake a person. The Holy Spirit can take a lost cause and make it into a situation of hope and salvation. Holy Spirit can sweep across the church and bring about revival. It can sweep across the nation and bring about hope. I'm praying the Spirit sweeps across this land and brings America to its knees. But it won't be brought to its knees by fear or some sort of hardness or harshness. It won't be brought by somehow forcing people. The Holy Spirit, it makes the heart understand the need. And John, he was preaching and he was saying you need to be cleansed, and the people were there and they were being baptized, but that baptism was not for their salvation, it was for their preparation. But when Jesus came and he stepped in the water, he made it possible that we can enter into life eternal. I tell you, it means everything. This past year, this church has said goodbye to a lot of saints, has it not? And Thursday, when we had the service for Miss Gladys, I was thinking, we used to always have the conversation. Miss Gladys, she was a strong believer in the eschaton. That's the word that means the coming, the second coming of Jesus. And she believed the coming is happening. And she said, where do you stand? And I said, there's no doubt Jesus is coming. And he's coming soon. And she said, I think that's wonderful you are able to think that and know that. And I say, I know it because the gospel tells me Jesus is not going to leave us. He is coming back. He said, lo, I am with you always. And he's coming the same way he went into the cloud. He's coming back. And when he comes back, only those who are baptized and wearing his robe that's been washed clean will enter into heaven. Sisters and brothers, we Methodists got a lot of theology on grace. We believe in giving people a chance, giving people hope. But I give Baptists credit. When it comes to salvation, they say you got to believe and you got to enter into covenant and relationship. We both are the same truth, but we see it in one way and another, but they both testify that Jesus Christ is salvation. So we're being called this year to be more dedicated than we ever have before, to be what God would have us be, to quit putting him on the back burner, saying, Lord, I need you first in my life. And if you're first, everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. God is always number one to those that are baptized in his grace. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as John came and he preached the gospel of repentance, we pray, O Lord, that we are able to bend our knees and come to you humbly and meekly, and you will lift us up to where we need to be, at the appointed place you have made for us. We indeed are being washed clean even now, cleansed of the sin that we have. Lord, let us go into this new year by this holy communion that's being offered to each and every one. Without any hesitation or reservation, this table is open. And Lord, we pray that as we partake of it, it will help from the inside, Holy Spirit, to work on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.